Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. It is Friday Eve. Happy Friday Eve. It is Travel Thursday. I know. I still love Truth Thursday also. But today is the first day named Travel Thursday, which was the brainchild of Cousin Linda. Accidentally, a couple weeks ago, she accidentally called, as she and I were in private discussions, we might have been on air. She accidentally called Fun Friday, Travel Thursday. And I thought, oh, it would be so awesome to add a segment called Travel Thursday. Well, we've completed the series talking about America and the world's elite for Truth Thursday, and we still would talk Truth on Thursdays, but it would be so much fun to rename it Travel Thursday, where we talk about staycations and vacations chat. So dial us up, 516-595-8255, chat in the chat room. Call in and listen. If you would like to be live on air, press 1 to signify you would like to speak, because that will raise your hand and it will ring me also. Cousin Linda's not on yet, so hopefully she will join us, but we will discuss hot topics and all that good stuff. So thank you for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. The BTR. Oh, and if you don't have a listener profile, I'd definitely create you one so you can chat and interact with all of us that are part of the BTR Blog Talk Radio family. Okay. Thank you again for listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. Again, if you have a listener profile, you're welcome to chat in the chat room. And the chat room is open. And also, those of you that would like to email media kits and interested in being a guest or would like to suggest discussion topics, please email and send awesome music. Please email at cultureshockinc_beth@yahoo.com. cultureshockinc_beth@yahoo.com. That's cultureshockinc_beth@yahoo.com. Cash App, $Beth, BETH, BTRU, KULTUESHOK. Yes, it's a mouthful for me also. $ BETH, BTRU, KULTUESHOK. $ BETH, BTRU, KULTUESHOK. Those that catch you up. And anything you send definitely goes into investing into the show to continue to upgrade it and redevelop this awesome Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, which has been broadcasting here on Blog Talk Radio since March 2011. I know, wait a second, 20 what? This is March 2011. And also, thank you for your support of my newest podcast on Spotify, which can also be heard on iHeartRadio. And you can hear Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, too, on most of your favorite podcast sites also. But thank you for supporting Culture Shock Entertainment Reports Exclusive, which new shows will go up this week on Spotify. Those of you that love Spotify like I do also. Thank you for your love and thank you for your support. Cousin Linda is not with us yet, so I will talk about apps, like travel apps, staycation apps. I was just looking at my emails, also some of my favorite apps and websites are Luxury Escapes, which I've talked about. I love the deals. I love the app. I love the app. I love the emails that I receive from the app, from Luxury Escapes. I have received some awesome emails this morning and overnight from Luxury Escapes regarding awesome vacations here in the States and abroad. Dubai, Cousin Linda's not here to talk about Dubai, but awesome vacations. So, and like I said, it's awesome for States and abroad. So a Luxury Escape of talking staycations, you might find something right in your front yard, your backyard, right up under your nose for an awesome staycation, too, in certain areas. Also, TripAdvisor, Cousin Linda and I both have been top reviewers of TripAdvisor. Hotel.com. Booking.com, Travaco.com, great apps, great websites to phone or sign up for. And also travel companies like Triple A. I hear a beeping noise. Wait, making sure it's not. Okay. I hear beeping noise outdoors, so I was just making sure there was nothing going on outside. If so, it's not near me. If I hear a big beeping noise, might be, you know, neighbors are doing their yard and stuff. It is 100 degrees here. I love to be out in the afternoon, but I go ahead and get things that I need to do done with in the morning, and I even water the grass, like, when it's getting dark or after dark. It's 100 degrees. It is like 110, 112 plus. It will be that way. Yes, I'm in the deep south in Jackson, Mississippi, in between Memphis and 3 hours from Memphis, 3 hours from New Orleans. 6 hours from Dallas, 6 hours from Atlanta. We're going to have 100-plus degrees weather with indexes, heat indexes of 110-plus up until Sunday. And then Monday, we are looking forward to 93 degrees. Mind you, I love summer. This is the hottest summer I've ever experienced in my entire life. And many other people, since other people know I love summer, they're like asking me about, I mean, you've been alive too. How many years you've been alive, 20 or 70? This is a hot summer. But I'm not complaining, but we, you know, it's just important for us to be careful and look after one another around the world where we're experiencing crazy weather. If it's cold or flooding or if it's raining or hot like here. It's just important for us to look after one another and make sure that we're being hydrated and make sure that if we are outside, we are in shade and hydrated. The roofers, this is a big season for roofers and construction workers. So praying for all of you that work out every day from sun up to sundown, definitely praying for you. Stay hydrated. Rest when you feel tired. You know, don't let anybody force you to continue working when you don't feel good, because heat stroke is real. Heat exhaustion is real. You can't faint. Those of us that like to walk and exercise and jog and ride our bikes, we know to be mindful when we are doing those things. And I love being outdoors, but so if I'm in, anybody can be in, because I love being outdoors. And also take care of your pets, making sure the pets are hydrated and drinking their water and freshening their water often also, and insisting that drink your water. So make sure even, you know, just look after each other, even strangers, you know, make sure people are, my male people, I make sure, hey, you're hydrated, right? You're drinking water. I hope you have, you know, water in there with you. You're drinking your water. And all of them always say, yes, I'm staying hydrated. And, you know, they'll discuss with me, yes, I had to walk all the number of blocks and this and that. But, you know, be careful. Be careful. All of us just have to be careful. So we will be so happy to see a 93, which the heat index will be 103. My birthday, I'm excited. You know, it's August. So big shout out to fellow August babies. It's Leo season. My birthday is next Friday. I have a cousin's birthday Saturday. Big shout out to Rhonda White. My cousin Gary's birthday is the day before. You know, cousin Linda and I, we talked about birthdays on yesterday. Oh, cousin Linda is with us. Yay. That might be the garbage truck workers. And I usually have water out for them. I need to buy some water. Some cases of water, and I bet they're looking for their water. But Cousin Linda is with us now. So she will, it's, like I said, Travel Thursday was her brainchild by accident, and it's Travel Thursday. And so I do a recap of some of the emails that are in my inbox right now. Luxury Escapes. I love the app. I love the emails they send me. TripAdvisor, like I said, Cousin Linda and I both have been top reviewers with TripAdvisor. I'm sure they want us to resume our reviews also. Hotel.com, Booking.com, Travago. I think Cousin Linda often talks about Priceline, but she will go in depth. I'll pass the mic to her in just a minute so we can talk about Travel Thursday. Like I said, this is a first of us beginning to talk staycations and travel on Thursdays. Fun Friday will still be Fun Friday, where we talk about fun, entertainment, and lifestyle topics. This is an entertainment lifestyle topic. And, of course, we're talking food, restaurants, travel, and staycations and hot topics on Friday. So this was Friday. But, again, this is Friday Eve, and so glad that you all could join us around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love, your positive vibe, and encouraging us to continue to discuss awesome things and call us more and chat with us more. And thank you for reaching out to us via social media also. So I'm going to go ahead and open the mic up to Cousin Linda. She is with us now. And again, I just thank you all. I appreciate you. I am grateful for you. You know, I'm just one of those people that like to show my gratitude. Give me my roses while I'm alive, and I'm going to give anybody, everybody that supports me, supports Cousin Linda and I'm giving you roses too. You know, let's enjoy our flowers. I love flowers. Okay. Hello, Cousin Linda. Hello, darling.
Hello, darling. Hello, listeners. I am just coming in.
It's Travel Thursday.
Yes. Well, I did some so-called traveling. I had to go to Winco. I had to go to Dollar Tree, and then I had to go to the Valero. So I'm just coming in, and I was sweating, and I heard you talking about hydrate, so I drank my water, and I had to wipe the sweat off. Yeah, and I had to lower the temperature on my air conditioner. My apartment gets really cold in the summertime, so thank God I don't have to have it down real low, so that helps out on my electricity bill. But when I come in from doing all these errands and stuff, I be just sweating. So I be sweating and carrying on. So I have to lower it down a little notch till I cool off.
Right.
But traveling.
Yeah, I figured you were out running errands, and I'm thinking, well, maybe she'll get in soon. But look, you get in before it gets too hot, right? Because it's hot in Mississippi. Man. I know it's hot in Big D.
Yes. You know, I told you I try to be back no later than 11:30. And depending on when I leave and how many errands I have to run, I might not get back to 12. But I try to be here by 11:30 because it is hot.
Yes.
And we're supposed to, I don't know if we're going to just be in the three digits or if it's going to feel like the three digits. Either way, it's super hot.
We're literally in the three digits until Sunday. Until Sunday, 100 every day, and with the heat index 112 plus, and we are looking forward to 93. I never thought I would say I'm looking forward to 93, but we're looking forward to 93 on Monday.
Hey, 93, that's a cold front.
So the adventures of Linda this morning, I know you have a story.
The cashier was nice at Winco. The cashier at Dollar Tree, who used to be real grumpy, I heard what she told me the other day.
She might have heard your podcast, but she might listen to the podcast, Cousin Linda, because you have talked about it.
Yes, because she had been mean and grumpy and hateful. And she was talking to a customer the other day saying that she had moved down here from Detroit because it was too cold in Detroit and now Texas is too hot. And then she talked to me when she rang me up, and I was shocked. And today she was friendly. She was talking to me today because she had to count out some change. And so, you know, it wasn't bothering me because I don't mind because I'm not in a hurry. I don't have to go to work or anything at the time. So she was explaining why
it didn't have a lunch appointment or anything. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I told her, well, I always drop coins in my little basket, and I could come in and exchange coins for currency. And she said, well, it would be better if I just bought something. And she said, pay for it with the coins. I said, well, that's cool. I can do that too. And we just had a little conversation. I was just very surprised. And when I went in Valero and made my purchase, because usually in these convenience stores, they're not very friendly. But this guy told me thank you. So I was just surprised. Nice little outing today. Everybody
So customer service was superb today. So, you told us about that check, that cashier at Dollar Tree, because I think I even asked you if she was a manager or something. So she brought that Detroit coolness down here with her.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe some Southern hospitality has rubbed off on her.
Right.
So, okay. I'm putting groceries up. So you wanted to talk about travel?
Well, it was your, look, that's what I told the listeners, that I don't know if we were in private conversation or it was doing a live broadcast, but you accidentally called Fun Friday Travel Thursday, and I'm like, cousin Linda, you created a new version. And, you know, we finished talking about our America and World Elite last Thursday, and it's still Truth Thursday where we talk about the truth, but, hey, Travel Thursday where we talk about staycations and travel. And until you called in, I was talking about my favorite apps and the emails that I had been receiving from, like, Luxury Escapes and TripAdvisor, who you and I both have been top reviewers for, and Booking.com and Hotel.com and Travaco. And I know you get – I know you often talk about Priceline. I believe I get emails from them also, but I was just talking about them. Luxury Escapes even sent me a nice deal for Dubai. I have to look at the name of the hotel. You're probably familiar with it. But Luxury Escapes was sending great things from here in the States. I know I found great deals in Dallas. Matter of fact, I had booked my hotel when I thought I was coming for my birthday next week. I need to change the date from Luxury Escapes because I found a good deal.
Oh, what hotel had you schedule your reservation?
It was near the Galleria. It was near the Galleria, which I know is
okay.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
At the Galleria.
I think the hotel at the Galleria is still the Westin, because a lot of the hotels here have changed names. But I think it's still the Westin right there at the Galleria, where you don't have to go outside to go into the mall or anything.
Okay, yeah, that is the Westin, but it's not at the Westin, but it's like near the Galleria. It's like at the Galleria, but it's not in it. But yeah, I know it's about the Westin. You know, Jackson have a Westin downtown. You know, we
that
have a Westin now.
Marriott. Used to be the Holiday Inn.
The Westin here was built ground up.
Wow.
No joke. It opened like 2016. Used to be the Holiday Inn, Cousin Linda. We need to open it back up. It was the Marriott. Marriott closed. It closed when COVID hit. Because one of my friend's son was the manager at the Marriott, and I was so proud of my friend's son. And it closed and haven't opened, and that's why you and I talked about this once, because when I talk about, we could, why not? Why we can't own a hotel? Because that's a hotel. I'm like, we should get an investment group and reopen. Or someone like Salt Bay, since he's into buying hotels, buy the Marriott, turn it to a Hyatt, you know?
Yeah.
Some brown and black money.
I didn't know that the old Holiday Inn,
yeah, it is closed. It's been closed since 2020.
Yeah.
Wow,
I used to like that hotel. I stayed there one while when I was moving to an apartment, because I had moved in with my mother, and then I stayed at the when it was the Holiday Inn, and I just loved it because I was working in that Deposit Guarantee Bank building, which I don't know what it's called now. But anyway,
it's called the Regions Building now. Right.
Okay, well, it was so convenient for me to park at the Holiday Inn and just walk across the bridge to my job. It was quite convenient. I loved it. And I was like, I wish they turned these into condominiums and I could buy a condominium and just be right here at work.
You know what? That's another great idea. It could be transformed into a very nice condominium building. It sure could.
Yeah,
but it's been empty since COVID hit us. And I agree with you. That's one of my favorite. That building with the hotel and the Regions Bank, the walkway. Yeah, I just love that. That's one of my favorite buildings here in Jackson. Those of you that have never been to Jackson, please Google it. That is a beautiful area. It's close to our governor's mansion. The Small Business Administration office is in the Regions building where the Deposit Guarantee was. And there are beautiful shops. Cousin, there are beautiful shops in the lobby.
Yeah, because there was some dress shop there. I forget what it's called. I used to buy a lot of clothes there. She had, the girl that owned it had layaway. In fact, I think it was two women that owned it, and they had layaway. You know, I spent quite a bit of money there. I worked in the building, and the shop was in the building, and so all I had to do was run down on break and buy something or put it on layaway. I just loved it. And I think developers are seeing more now in cities, southern cities, that they need to have multiple complexes, residences and commercial. Because it's like that in a lot of cities, international cities, where you have apartment buildings that's over businesses and retail and banks and all that. That's one thing I like about international travel. Because you can do everything in hot places like Hong Kong and Italy and all that right there in one spot.
That's what I love, areas and neighborhoods like that where everything is just right there. And I bet you have seen some beautiful places around the world like you just mentioned. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Singapore one year. And Michael Payne and I were together, and we were on a rickshaw ride, and we saw all these high-rise buildings, and the rickshaw driver was telling us that they were like, I guess what we would call projects, but not in the sense of low income or anything like that. A lot of industries built the apartment or condo complexes so their employees wouldn't have to transport or get transportation to work because all the work was there in the buildings where they lived. It seemed like, you know, these other governments take employees into consideration. And
right.
Even though they had a wonderful mass transit system, they still had a lot of businesses that had their employees living in these complexes.
Right. Like we do here with colleges and universities, you know, faculty usually have a place, and so there, you know, the jobs. And right. I think some Indian reservations have it like that for their employees. Wow. America should take note so people don't have to commute so much.
Well, ours is different because they like to consider the business or the corporation over the employee. Because I was looking at a video on YouTube, which I already knew, why doesn't America have better mass transit? And it's because the automobile industry doesn't want better mass transit. They want to buy automobiles.
Oh, my God. Good point.
Mm-hmm. I had a cab driver from Bangladesh back in the 80s tell me that Dallas would never have a real good mass transit system because at that time you had a service station. You have convenience stores on just about every corner at every intersection, and they used to do automobile. They used to do automobile mass transit. And because I used to take my car after it got out of warranty, I used to take mine down the street to an Exxon station because they had some of the best mechanics down there. And it was very reasonable, certainly more reasonable than going to the dealership. And so I don't know what had happened to my car that I had at the time, a brand new Oldsmobile. But anyway, I had to take a taxi to work. And, you know, taxi drivers like to talk to you. So he told me he was from Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And I was complaining that I had to take a taxi because if I was waiting for the bus, I was going to be super late. And he said, oh, they'll never have a real good mass transit system here. And I was saying, why? He said, because they're too dependent on the cars. And I thought about that, and he said, you know, just look around and you see all these service stations that have mechanic shops. And so the automobile industry is a big thing here. And I never forgot that because it was certainly the truth. They want you to have a car, but I guess so many people started moving here from other cities where they were kind of used to mass transit and kind of the demand, because when they were trying to get DART, I think it took them about 20 years to get DART even started, let alone halfway completed. And they're still building tracks now, because they started building tracks up here where I live, just keep the streets tore up. And it's not like the best mass transit, because you still in a lot of instances you have to drive to the train station, which defeats the purpose. I want to be able to just walk maybe a half a block or a block to the train station. I don't want to have to drive, wait for the train, catch the train, and then when I come back from wherever, I got to get in my car still and drive home. So I might as well just drive to wherever I was going in the first place.
Right.
But they still,
I know when I was in school, at Ogle Dallas in 2015, and I was staying with my boyfriend at the time in Sherman, and I would, I thought that was amazing, the direct rail system. I literally would get to Dallas, would shuttle from Sherman to Plano, and would get to Dallas in like 45 minutes because of the rail system. And so back then, they were buying up properties up and down, like 75, right? They were buying up properties from people, trying to get permission to buy properties so they could improve the rail system. Because that's one reason why I had to, that's the number one reason why I had to stop. I should have found my apartment. The apartment I found was in Sherman, and I definitely wanted an apartment in Dallas so I could continue school. But that's why I stopped going to school, because some corruption happened with the shuttle system, with the president and all of the shuttle system from Sherman to Plano, so they had to stop the shuttle. But, oh, my God, that is just amazing to improve the transit system. And they're trying their best to do it here in Mississippi and also with Amtrak, so we can start traveling Amtrak. And I've never ridden Amtrak, but we could go back and forth from Dallas to Jackson if they would hurry up and cut through the red tape and do this deal with Amtrak. But that is a good point. Is that why it takes so long, too? Like you just said with DART, it takes forever when we do get something approved to get it moving.
The DART thing took forever because this woman, I think her name was Adeline Harris
uh-huh.
or something like that, was over. In my opinion, she wasn't doing anything but wasting money, because she had a team of, I think, about 20 people, and they used to travel to all these cities. They traveled to all these cities that had mass transit, doing getting consulting and seeing how that system compared to how it would be in Dallas and all that. And they went to San Francisco. I think they went to Atlanta, and I think they had gone to way more places than that, but I think the straw that broke the camel's back was when they went to Singapore to check out the mass transit system in Singapore. And I don't know if it was taxpayers or city council or who that finally put their foot down and said, now all this going to check out how things are run in others. Because they were running up bills, eating these fancy meals at fancy hotels, and taking limos. Mm-hmm, just wasting money. And there was, I don't know, I think it was a city councilman, Max Goldblatt, who tried and tried and tried to get Dallas to go to the monorail system, which would have been cheaper, more efficient, built quicker.
Right.
But I think the powers that be didn't want that. They didn't want efficiency. It was more money to go the other route. Because when you're doing stuff in the United States, you got to look at what the politicians, you know, it's like, well, if you give me X number of dollars, I'll see if I can't get that through and see if I can't get my constituents to vote on this, that, and the other. And like in communist countries or countries that are not democracies, you know, whoever the head honcho is, he just go ahead and says, well, we're going to do this, and then it's done.
We're going to do this.
You got to go through all this red tape.
Thank you. You take, that's what I was about to say, too. So much red tape, and you would think it would be easy to get projects green lit here in America. You would think so, but it takes forever. The red tape is so thick, too. So, oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, you have to think
You mentioned Bangladesh. That's a question that I've had for you. Have you ever been to Bangladesh? Bangladesh is number 5.
No.
By listening country too.
I've never been to Bangladesh. I would like to.
Bangladesh. Yes. And they're listening to us too. They're number 5 now. And I mentioned it once when you weren't on yet. I wonder if Cousin Linda ever been there.
Oh, yeah. I've been. And I want to go to India too.
Yes, me too. Well, I want to go everywhere. I haven't been anywhere out of state. Right. So you still have a bucket list of a long list of places you would like to visit. So that's great.
Oh, I have a very long list of places. Because like I said, while I was steady going to Paris and Hong Kong, I should have been going somewhere else. But I like it. And so I always want to go back.
Well, you don't really go to warm places, but I see there's a young lady from, well, she's probably in like her 40s, a black American who she just pulled up and moved to Bali, built her own nice house, and she runs her business from Bali.
I saw that. I don't know who brought that to my attention. Might have been
I did, because when I discovered her on YouTube, I posted her and tagged her. I'm like, look at this Cousin Linda, and she's living good, too.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go to Bali, but I couldn't go because it's just too far. Like Australia.
Right.
After I'd gone to Singapore, I would just be so tired and worn out from those flights until I was like, I just can't go another further. Singapore is as far south as I can go. But now you have you have a lot of direct flights to a lot of places, so maybe it wouldn't be so out of the question about me going those places now. But, yeah, I've always wanted to go to Bali.
Me too. Wow. But, yeah, I think you had mentioned it to me, that, like, that's a long flight. And then she did mention, and I have to revisit that YouTube, her YouTube channel. She did mention that it's, like, 20 hours, 18 hours. Like you mentioned, Australia, a very, very, very long flight.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Bahamas, get our winter house in Bahamas.
It was too hot for me in the Bahamas, and I don't like the fact they had a hurricane. Yeah,
well, that's what scares me too about the hurricanes. I'm like, oh my god, I would love to have a winter house in I never been to Jamaica. You have though, right?
Right, I've been there twice, and Jamaica is hot.
Oh, what about the food? Because
Jamaica has wonderful food. And whenever I would go somewhere, I would order lobster. And I would always call my mom and say, oh, they had the best lobster in the world. And Portugal, to me, had some of the best lobster. They were huge. But they were so delicious.
Ooh.
And so when me and a friend of mine went to, and so my friend and I went to Jamaica. And we went to hotel restaurant. Once upon a time, it might have been a hotel, and maybe now it's just a restaurant, Rose Hall or Rose Hill or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had lobster, and it had to have been the best lobster in the world. It's something to me about the butter in Jamaica. I don't know where they get the butter. I don't know if it's from cows or goats or whatever, because they eat a lot of goat in Jamaica. And sauce would just be so good. And they had these wonderful rolls, and I'd just be sopping up the sauce. And they had the best snails in the world. I think this place was called Brigadoon, and I ordered snails. And, oh, God, those were the best. Those snails were better than snails I've eaten in Paris. And you know the French are known for their snails. But Jamaica had the best snails to me and the best butter sauce or whatever on them.
So you talking about conch? Because I know when I made it to Bahamas, I ate conch. Was it conch? Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, it's conch. So, yeah, conch. And I remember when the tooth is conch. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was conch. And I know before I made it there, my friends, they told me it was the first thing I had to have. And I loved it. So, yeah.
I didn't care for it. Oh, and I haven't mentioned that I've been to the Cayman Islands either. That's another one of those hot places.
Oh, my God, man, that's beautiful. Where are your pictures for Cayman Islands? You never post those.
For some reason, I don't have a lot of pictures from the Cayman Islands, but I have posted some. I've posted some of it, and it was expensive. They were not a reasonable place, because I think at the time, if you give them a $20, you only got 16 of their dollars, and the prices of their stuff was high.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how it is now. I know I used to work with a lot of people that like to go there for scuba diving. Said some of the best scuba diving in the world was in the Cayman Islands.
Wow.
But traveling Thursday. Some places I would like to go are Austria, Germany, Liechtenstein, places that you don't normally hear people talk about.
Right. I would like to visit Frankfurt, Hungary. Germany, and like you were saying, Australia.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go to Hungary and Romania. When I go to Romania, I want to visit Dracula's castle because I'm a big fan of Dracula. I'm scared of Dracula, but I still love the Dracula movies and stuff.
And he's my favorite. Yeah, he's my favorite out of all of the villains. And then he's the most real. I mean, Transylvania. So, yeah, you're right. Romania is number 7. You know, Romania is listening to us, too. So, big shout out.
I had a supervisor from Romania. His name was Claudiu Enescu or Ionescu or something like that. But yeah, he was from Romania. In fact, while we were still working at the same place, he went to Romania and brought us all back these little souvenirs of Dracula's castle.
And it is so beautiful. So, you can't go without me. It is so beautiful. Isn't it almost time for us to see stories about it, because they're already talking about Halloween. Cousin Linda, you talk about holidays. Labor Day not here yet, and they're already talking about Halloween.
Well, you know,
I thought about you earlier this week because it's already big talk. Like,
yeah,
because
Halloween never was a big thing for me, but
right.
You know, now you got. Well, who are you going to go as? Who are you going to go? When I was coming up, Halloween was about scaring people, trick or treat.
Oh, my God.
But we used to go around in little homemade costumes. You get a little cheap black mask and put that on, and we made our costumes. And like I said, you know, trick or treat was like boo. It was about ghosts and witches and goblins. But now people are talking about they're going, is this celebrity or that politician? And
right.
I'm not a fan of Halloween, which I don't celebrate.
Right.
But
and people love to try to scare you to death. I remember going to a Halloween party of Cousin Doris when they lived up the street. And it was so scary. It was so scary. Lord Jesus.
Yeah, and they have Halloween houses, scary houses, like at the malls and some businesses have scary houses or whatever. Now, that was what I thought Halloween was about. But I had a friend one time told me she and her boyfriend went as Ike and Tina Turner, and people are buying, they were buying, remember Richard Nixon, you might be too young, but they were buying Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan masks and just different things, and celebrities.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and
that.
How did Halloween go from a scary mask to going as a celebrity or whatever?
Right.
And Latin celebrities. I kind of thought Halloween was about the dead.
Right. And
but
I guess that was the beginning of it becoming a billion-dollar industry, because I don't know, Halloween might be beating Christmas. Halloween might be beating Christmas. I don't know. It seemed like last year it was Halloween was highly celebrated. And some people keep their Halloween decorations up, I hear, yearly. They keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
They keep things up. They don't even worry about taking it down.
Yeah, I know that's Halloween is real huge in the Dallas area. And when my first year here, I went to the bank one day. It was Halloween, and I thought it was really strange. The tellers had on, at that time, it was still ghostly and witchy poo stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the tellers dressed up like that. And then I went in Tom Thumb, and their cashiers were made up into ghosts and goblins. And I was just surprised we didn't do that in Jackson. But, honey, later on I found out Halloween is a big thing in Dallas.
Are some neighborhoods in Jackson that's doing it big? I know when I was canvassing 4 years ago during our political season, you know the neighborhood where your Dora Welty's house is, like close to Murrow High School, the really nice little historical neighborhood. Right there, close to Morrow.
They probably started
that
in the last
neighborhood. That neighborhood, oh my God, they have graveyards in their yards, tombs. Also, the neighborhood that you mentioned,
Woodland Hill.
Woodlands and the neighborhood where Eudora Welty's house is. Oh my God. So those people go all out with Halloween. Anybody want to drive through neighborhoods like you do for Christmas time? Drive through those neighborhoods if you're in Jackson, because you will get scared. You will literally get scared. Some of those houses I were afraid to even, literally I'm thinking, I don't know about this, because they are too serious about Halloween.
They might have a dungeon. Look, they might have a dungeon or some chains or whatever inside.
Right.
Yeah, kidnap you and put you there and not let you leave.
And people that celebrate that way, they want to scare you. They're not trying to treat you. They're trying to trick you.
That's the way it was. Like I said, when I was coming up, it was about being scared. It wasn't about going to some party and dressed up as a celebrity.
Right. I wonder which celebrities are buying into this and getting some of this profit. Because, you know, some of these companies, they just created this stuff with no permission. So I wonder which celebrities are really getting the profit off of.
Probably none of them.
Right. And it's a billion-dollar industry. If I'm a celebrity, that's when I would say, wait a second. Where's my percentage?
There's a law against that. It's not like copywriting music or the written word. So I think companies can just manufacture your likeness.
So I guess it's a compliment. You know, wow, the people are walking around. There are millions of me walking around for Halloween. So I guess I guess the compliment is good enough for some celebrities.
I guess so.
But I bet some probably say, that's not how my nose looks. That's not how my eyes are made.
I think they probably do more like a caricature of the person rather than the true likeness. But back on traveling, there are some places.
I'm amazed that there are so many, as your favorite guy and who Whoopi referred to as you know who. I'm surprised that there are so many Donald Trump costumes.
Well, you have a lot of Donald Trump fans. A lot of them. You know, he has his dedicated, loyal following.
Wow. So, back to Travel Thursday. What were you saying? Because I'm looking forward to it.
There are places that I've never been to that I would like to visit, like San Antonio. Galveston. I'd like to go to Galveston.
I've never been to Houston. Oh, Galveston. I'm shocked you've never been to Galveston.
I've been to Houston, but I've never been to Galveston. I guess because I ain't really a beach person, and that's what most – and South Padre Island is another beachy area that people here talk about a lot. But I'm not really a beach person, so that might be one of the reasons I have to really try to go.
What other advice do you have for Travel Thursday? For this time of year, is this a good time to book for fall and winter or for spring or next summer?
Well, if it were me, I'd book a year in advance. That's what I used to do, is book a year in advance, except when I went to Hawaii, because I went 4 times in 13 months. But if I'm taking a big international trip, I would always try to plan them a year in advance.
Well, that's a long flight to Hawaii, isn't it? Wow, you love Hawaii. Terry's mom loves Hawaii, too.
You know, Hawaii is about 5.5 hours from Dallas, but they had layovers in San Francisco or a layover in Los Angeles. Yeah, and that would kind of break up the long flight, because I was flying Delta Airlines, and Delta had cut down the size of their seats. Their seats were so tiny and cramped. Normally, I don't like layovers. I like nonstop, but those was so small and cramped. And I think I may have nonstop to Hawaii on Delta one time.
So 4 trips to Hawaii in 13 months or 18 months. They probably thought you lived there, had moved there.
It was 4 trips in 13 months. It was just a month outside.
Wow. I said some of your friends probably thought you had moved there and was going back and forth.
Yeah, well, they thought I had a boyfriend or something. And I was like, I wish. No, I just like Hawaii. And I was amazed because I'm not a beach person, but Hawaii has so much more to offer. Yeah, it's a lot.
I hear it is beautiful. And so what do you like about Hawaii's food?
I'm not that crazy about Hawaiian food. It wasn't that good. I would go to restaurants that served American food and seafood.
Oh.
They have a lot of fish that I had never heard of, like orange roughy. And it was some other kind of fish. I went to this real nice restaurant on Kalakaua Street. It's like at the top of a skyscraper, and it revolves. In fact, I think I got a napkin from the place. Let me look. I don't know where I'm charging my phone. That's why I didn't have the phone with me.
I don't want to get cut off like I did one day last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have these souvenir napkins from that restaurant. And I had kept them right out here on my little book stand. And I don't know what – oh, here they are. What's it called? Let's see here. I got to get some Songer glasses.
Yeah. I need some reading glasses. I need to go get my eyes checked, too.
Waikiki Business Plaza. It's called Top of Waikiki. And they have this revolving restaurant, and that food was so good. And it was one of the fish was orange roughy, and I don't know why. can't think of the name of the other one, but it was good because I went twice. But I would go to places like Chili's and burger places and just regular restaurants. I don't remember the name of the restaurants. I went to Hard Rock Cafe one day. And,
You must enjoy the shopping there. You must enjoy the shopping there. Well, how's the shopping?
I like shopping. Yeah.
Did I turn the volume down? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I accidentally went on mute.
I thought I had accidentally turned the volume down.
No, I think the shopping center was Ala Moana. And they have the International Bazaar that's between Kalakaua and Kuhio Street. Huge place where you buy stuff that's from, like, different countries. And there was a huge Philippine press there. And a lot of Asians. You got a lot of Asians. Because one while I was like, it seemed like I'm in Hong Kong. I see so many Asian people here. And they have a shopping center, Liberty House. I think it's still there. It was Liberty House Department Store. It was a real, real widely known department store because I did some shopping there. And, the tourist attractions like the Luau, you can take a sailboat ride around. You can take you can do parasailing, and for people who are into scuba diving, they have that. And I don't know if they still have the helicopter tours and the submarine tour. It was just so many things that you get to do. Oh, and then you get to go to different islands.
About the submarine.
Yeah, and I took a day trip over to the Big Island, which is called the Big Island, where they have this volcano that looks like it's going to erupt any minute. And the beach over there, is the sand is black, which really doesn't seem like sand to me. It's like lava that's been kind of crunched up because it's real sticky. But there are the other islands. I think it's about five islands, Kauai, and they got one, might be Lantana. They have one island that's private where just anybody can't go to it because it's a private island.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, they like Maui, but my favorite island of the two that I visited were Oahu, where Waikiki is. Because you can walk to so much stuff in Waikiki, but like on the Big Island or Maui, you need a car. They seem to cater more to resorts, and I don't like resorts.
Mm-hmm. You don't like resorts, girl? Why you don't like resorts?
Well, they're usually way out, and you usually have to take a shuttle to go into town. So you have to be ready to go at a certain time. You have to have somebody pick you up at a certain time. And it's nothing to do at a resort for me because mostly they're golf courses, horseback riding, spas, to me that's for people who don't really want to go somewhere and do a lot of touristy things. And a lot of people don't want to be known as a tourist.
Want everything in-house. Want everything in-house. I like to do both. I'm both.
No,
I like the resort lifestyle, and I like to go out and venture out, too. I like to go, resorts, but come to think of it, you don't talk about resorts.
I was at a resort in Jamaica, and having to depend on the shuttle to take you into town, and you got to be conscious of what time it is, because if you miss the shuttle, you kind of like up the creek, and
right.
I'm not into cars when I go somewhere. So no, I don't like resorts. I want to get away from there.
Okay.
I like
Cha-Cha was a resort, and you sure right. But
I
like resorts. Pearl River is a resort. Pearl River Resort here in the Cha-Cha Indians here. That's a resort, right?
I want to walk out of my hotel, and if I want to go left to the restaurant and right to the shop, it's there. I don't have to take the bus. I don't have to get a shuttle. I can walk pretty much to what I want to do, or just hail a taxi or hop on the bus or something.
Oh, right.
And resorts, most of the time you need a host or a hostess to take you around, too.
Yeah. But people don't want to be called tourists. They want to be called travelers. I'm like, I'm a tourist. I'm not a traveler. I am a tourist. Because this was back when I was married, and Glenn and I were in New Orleans, and I was taking pictures of some guys sleeping on the sidewalk and the winos, and Glenn was like, don't be taking those pictures. They don't know you. They don't think you a tourist. So I said, well, they'll be thinking, right, I am a tourist. But he thinks because I used to go to New Orleans all the time. I feel like if I don't live there, I'm a tourist.
You make me think about the opening scene of Pretty Woman. We always talk about Pretty Woman, too, when it comes to shopping and traveling. You know, when the body, it was like a crime scene, and the husband and wife were tourists, and the wife, well, the husband won, they wanted to take pictures, and the police was like, no, this is a crime scene. You can't take pictures. And they were like, we're tourists. So
yeah,
that's how you were. And he was like, no, don't do that.
Now, Michael Payne calls when he was going to Paris, he was going home. I'm like, okay, we're going home. I said to myself, no, I am a tourist. He can call it home.
When we go to Istanbul, I'm going home. Look, that was my second home, but Istanbul, and in Minneapolis. When we go to Minneapolis, I've never been in Minneapolis, but everybody that knows me knows Minneapolis is another home for me. So when we go to Minneapolis and when we go to Istanbul, yes, I'm going home. You
okay.
Knew Michael said he's going home. You said I'm a tourist.
I'm a tourist. I agree with him. Yeah, we going home. I'm going to
and
visit.
I bet Michael fought at home. I bet he did carry himself like he was at home, too.
He did. He acted like he was at home. He really did. He acted like him for real. They go to the club like 7 o'clock at night and not leave to 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. Me, I want to
probably
be back
be like that too. When I travel with you to London, I'd probably be like that too. London is one of my homes I've never been to. Now, I've always wanted to go to Paris, but I love that about Michael. You must post some more of those pictures of you and Michael in Paris.
Yeah, we had some fun. We
he might
really
be
did.
In Paris, Cousin Linda. We need to find Michael. He might be at home.
he may have moved over there because he had been at the phone company long enough to retire. So it got so expensive over there to buy a property. But he may have friends. Mm-hmm. He may have met somebody that he could have moved in with or be sharing a residence or something. Because me, I like big hotel rooms, and Michael's thing is he just wanted somewhere to sleep, and that's not me. Because some of those hotels were so tiny. One hotel, the elevator was so small, I had to send my luggage up by itself and ask the maid to take it out. Yeah, and asked the maid to take my luggage off the elevator when it came up there. And then I had to ride the elevator by myself. Because some of them, could barely get with two people, but you couldn't get on there if you had a nice-sized suitcase. And I was like, I didn't know the room was that small. But Michael liked them little bitty rooms because he said all he was going to do was sleep in it. I said, well, I like to watch TV, and I like to be comfortable. Like luxury. Yeah, you know
we
me.
Like
I like
the
luxury.
VIP treatment. I'm like you too, Cousin Linda. Right, we like the VIP treatment.
I want just a room. I want a hotel that's got a restaurant, a nightclub, in the heart of everything. Because when we were going to Dubai and Laverne's sisters were supposed to be coming with her, I'm staying out at the airport.
That's my other phone.
I'm going to be in the city. And then her sisters decided they weren't going. And I said, well, you can stay with me, because I had booked two nights at the Burj Al Arab, and then the other mm-hmm. three nights stayed at the Sofitel downtown in the heart of everything, because I was like, no, I can't understand why you want to stay out at the airport. And she had chosen the Meridian Hotel, and I said, well, uh-huh. yeah, it is a nice. Uh-huh, because she said, those are nice hotels. I said, they are, but why do you want to stay at the airport? And I know she's glad she didn't, because it is a long ride from the airport into downtown or to the Burj Al Arab. The airport is about the size of a small country. That's one of the biggest airports I've ever been to.
Wow. So you tell, you know, look, your friends already know. And look, I'm with you. Let's stay at the best that we can stay at. But
amen.
Oh my God, to put your luggage on a elevator and then you go up afterwards.
And
another reason to travel light, I guess, too, because you never know what you would encounter.
Yeah, because my husband take a duffel bag. He'd take two pairs of jeans and three sweaters, and that was it, you know, and underwear. But he didn't really change clothes or whatever. And me, you know, I like to have on this outfit and that outfit.
Yes.
And this and that. And
I pack a lot, so I definitely need to study and pack, you know, like travel light. Got to become a minimalist.
Yeah. So they have this material now that doesn't wrinkle, and you can roll your clothes up. And then when you take them out of your suitcase, just hang them on the hangers in your closet. And if there were some wrinkles, they'll fall out. But I have learned my lesson the hard way. I'm going to pack lightly.
Wow. So was that a hotel? What was it called?
It was a hotel, and I forget the name of it. But it was in the 8th District, which is my favorite district in Paris. But that's
mm-hmm.
how hotel rooms were. And before, I would say about the last 20 years, hotels in Europe were not air-conditioned a lot. Unless you stayed at a major chain or a big-time hotel, regular hotels
uh-huh.
were not air-conditioned. And if you had the misfortune of going there in the summer, and if it was hot, it was just miserable. Because I know when I went to Italy and in the 90s, two of my hotels were not air conditioned.
Well, that was my
next
question. What's the temperature in the 70s? And then you're saying the 90s lower.
No, I mean, it was back in the 90s when I went to Italy.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, I went
to Italy. So what's the average temperature there?
Hot, all I can think of. No, it wasn't the 90s. I think it was around 2004 when I went to Italy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I went to three cities, and two of my hotels did not have air conditioning. My hotel in Milan was air conditioned, but Rome and Venice were not. And I ate so much gelato when I was in Venice trying to stay cool. But eating ice cream won't keep you cool. When it's hot, it's hot. You need air conditioning. And they had me in one room. It was so hot, I thought I was going to pass out. So they moved me to another room and gave me an oscillating fan, and the fan was blowing hot air. I was like, this is just miserable. Oh,
It made you even hotter.
Yeah. And there weren't a lot of places in Venice that were air-conditioned, because it's different. A lot of stuff there is outdoors. And, you know, you can't have cars there, so you walk to everything. And so you're out there walking in the heat.
Oh.
They have water taxis
oh.
if you go from one place to the other. But it's not, once you're on land, there are no cars. There are no vehicles in Venice. Thing is foot traffic in the heat.
I remember you had talked to us about comparing the three, Venice,
mm-hmm.
Rome, Milan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have a couple more minutes. So any takeaways of what people should do or websites or more travel tips? I know you said it's best to go ahead and plan not for fall and winter, but for next spring and summer right now.
If you're going to travel in December, then I suggest you start planning and making reservations that December, or if you're going to go in May. For me, it just takes a lot of pressure and stress off me. I would already have paid for my trip in advance, saved up the money, pretty much had decided which excursions or tours I was going to take, how far my hotel is from the airport, just different things. I don't want to schedule a vacation 2 or 3 months in advance because it would just rush me too much. And at that time when I was working steady, you got to be cognizant of, okay, if I leave on this Friday and I stay over there that Friday, and, well, when I come back, I'm only going to have one day before I have to go back to the job, and you go back to work tired and beat. So plan, to me, a year in advance so you can have everything under control. And then, like, when I worked for the Bell system at AT&T, we used to have to choose vacations way in advance. It's not like you decide, well, I want to go somewhere next month. And, you could just automatically get the time off. So I had to plan in advance a lot of times based on my seniority at work and what was available. But usually people didn't want to travel in December. People with all the seniority, they wanted to travel in the summer, which was fine with me because I didn't really want to go in the summer.
Well, that's good advice for people. And that's Pastor Don, Junior CEO. He should have called us before the end of the show. Calling the cell number. But that's good advice for people because some people wait the last minute too. So some people are experiencing what you just mentioned now. Now they see, go ahead and find your best deals and go ahead and book your travel for next summer. Those of you that that can plan your vacations from work and request your vacation time in advance, or you just can't figure out where you want to go, go ahead and start, write down your wish list and start figuring out where you would like to go. And this is when you get the best deals too, right?
Well, I was going to mention that. I was like, a lot of people wait till the last minute because you do have last minute deals, but I wouldn't count on that. You might not be able to get the seat you want on the plane. You might miss fare. And, if you book in advance and you paid $900 for your ticket and you see that it goes on sale, maybe you can work with the airline and see if they'll cut you some slack on the fare. But a lot of people wait to the last minute because they get these last-minute deals. Well, I'm not someone who can just take up and go. Like, if I saw $200 round trip to Dubai and I had to buy the ticket today, I couldn't do it because I got to worry about the hotel. And is the hotel going to have, the hotel where I want to stay, are they going to have vacancies and all that? Well, I don't want to have a ticket that I paid for and then be scrambling trying to find a hotel where I want to stay. And so I just like to book as far in advance as I can, which is usually a year.
Right. And the way we see traveling going on, you all, that is good advice right now. And so what are some of your favorite websites? Oh, well, the show just concluded, but what are your favorite websites? I'm glad I asked you about the takeaways. That was a good way to end.
Okay, I just go to the airline and the hotel where I want to stay. I don't really do the websites anymore. So I know if I want to stay at a hotel, I go to that hotel. Or if I want to fly on a particular airline, I go to that airline. Because it's not like it used to be where you had to go to a travel agent or you had to go to a particular travel website or something. No, I just go directly through the carrier or the hotel where I want to stay. And I'd rather deal with them than a third party anyway. It's easier dealing directly with the hotel or directly with the airline, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I had mentioned, right. Yeah, I noticed that too from some of the travel from the airlines that they offer, you know, good deals, car rentals, and hotels mm-hmm. also. And I think some people don't realize that they have their partnerships and they have their in-house deals that they can offer. And I just received my new membership with AAA, who you used to work with. And I'm amazed at all the features with this membership, all the benefits that I get. And we've been a member of AAA. I mom and I used to be trip members a long time ago. We always was members. And so now I received my packet last week, and it's a lot regarding travel and what we talked about regarding travel insurance. And all
don't
of that,
book
you
any
know,
travel.
Some people just think roadside service. Hmm?
Don't book travel with AAA because they are about two times higher than anybody else. And when you get that travel max, you're gonna find out. Because I know employees.
And you would think in the way they market and everything is everything discount, automobile shopping.
Uh-huh.
They have a list of things like that you benefit from. From being a member.
You
I know
don't
mom and I used to use it for our roadside service and traveling too, like when we travel to Dallas.
Well, you don't want to use AAA approved auto repair shops because they're expensive. The mechanics are not the best in the world. They're overpriced.
Why?
And like I said, you don't want to book your travel through AAA. One of my friends in New York used to be a travel agent at AAA. But when I was
I have my card
in
my hand now.
When I was working for AAA, one of my friends had gone to New Hampshire, and she was saying she got a good deal and a discount using AAA travel. So when I got ready to go to Paris, I was knocked off my feet at how expensive it was. It was about $1,300 or $1,400 more than what I would pay going to Paris, because that was still in the days when I could pay $1,000.
So we do good on our own. Look, because Linda, we do good with our own research, huh? And the membership, that's supposed to be all, you know, discounts and perks and stuff. Whoa.
No, I don't even have AAA anymore, because last time, I think it was about last summer or two summers ago, I had a flat. Me and Laverne had gone to lunch together. And when I came out, my car was on a flat. And I called AAA. Well, the first time I got a person, and she hung up on me. The second time I had all this automation, and they had to have the exact address. Well, when I worked there, they didn't have to have exact addresses. People would tell you about where they were. And we had to try to figure it out. But, I mean, it was horrible. And it was in the dead of summer. And they told me it was going to be an hour and a half before somebody could come out and fix my flat, change my tire. And I'm like, I'm right here in Dallas. Y'all ain't got nobody. And so one of the host, who was a guy, and one of the waiters came out and changed my tire for me. So they kept saying, ma'am, you want to come in? Can we get you a drink?
Oh, my God.
Drink, uh-huh. And I said, well, I'm waiting for AAA. I'm waiting for AAA. So after about 20 minutes, they came over and they said, ma'am, we're going to change your tire for you. Where's your car? And I said, oh, no, I can still wait. I don't have anywhere to go. And they said, uh-uh, we're going to change this tire for you. They got out there, changed my tire. I tried to give them $20. They wouldn't take it. Right over there to Discount Tire. And that's where I take my car for my tires anyway, is Discount Tire, which was like 1 minute away. Over to Discount Tire, they fixed my flat, didn't charge me a penny because they don't charge you to fix flat. And when my AAA expired, I did not renew it.
Wow.
I got somebody. Yeah, I've had it with AAA.
Well, I have this new 1-year membership, and I know Mom and I, we used to love it, but that was back in the day, you know. And so I'm back with them, and I'm thinking VIP and perks and great discounts. I see they're with Hertz, and I love Enterprise when I rent cars. And I'm like, but I probably stick with Enterprise because their discount with Hertz probably not a discount. And then they said they also have car buying. They also have you know, helping you with car buying when you go while I'm car shopping. So I the way you talk, you do good by myself.
Yeah, you can. You don't need AAA. All them discounts, honey, that ain't nothing but some advertising. But I was gonna ask you, what level do you have? A lot of people have the basic level. Now I had Premier because as an employee, you got Plus with that 100 miles of free towing.
And when you call them, I know you expect your Plus treatment. Oh my God!
Now they even have different phone numbers for the Premier members. And you would think you were going to get some Premier service because if you have your vehicle towed, you got a one-day free car rental with Hertz or Enterprise. But what I'll tell you is you have to try to make sure they got a car available. And now what they did, Andy, because my car stopped on me when I was at the car wash during COVID. Mm-hmm. And I called
my
to get them to jump start my battery, and I said, well, I don't know, because I was just right down the street from Walmart. That's well, I don't know if I want a Walmart battery, because we used to be force people batteries at AAA. But I went ahead and told them to go ahead and bring that was a good thing. They brought the battery out and installed it, so I did appreciate that. But as far as the other service that and like if they bring you gas, when I was there, I think they, if you were basic, they bring you like $3 worth, which was a gallon. And then Premier or something, I think we got $7 worth of gas. I don't know what it is now because, like I said, I'm no longer a member, so I don't know what the benefits. But what level membership do you have? Are you basic?
I think mine is just the basic. Let's see. I'm looking at my letter. I think it is the basic because I'm sure it was showing my card, and I'm looking at my card. It's just the basic. But, yeah, it sure is different levels. I think Mom and I, used to get, like, a second level. I just got the basic. I don't see Premier anywhere.
Well, then, not basic ain't worth a dime.
And the way you talk, Plus and Premier and got the AAA. Oh, wait a second. Okay, I got the basic because they sure are talking about AAA Plus and AAA Premier to upgrade to the AAA Plus or Premier. But you talk like it don't matter if you upgrade or not.
I wasn't happy with them, and I know a lot of other people that weren't happy with them. And they've got so much competition now, because one while AAA used to be just about the only folk in town, but everybody and their grandmama now has some kind of automobile service.
Right, because they talk about the discounts and rewards, the free identity theft protection, which everybody wants that, free Hertz Gold Plus rewards, the automotive.
Yeah.
Services, the travel, and there's a list of things for travel, personalized vacation planning, a list of things, air, car, and hotel reservations, travel insurance, passport, photos, international driving permits, and then insurance for auto, home, renters, and life.
And their insurance is high as hell.
Ooh, so, and you should know. And then you said he used to put pressure on you all the sale. Wow.
You know, I mean, it was counted against us if we couldn't sell batteries. And I was like, well, these people don't buy batteries. We can't make them. But, yeah, you have to. I think we had to sell about 7 batteries a week, and you only work 5 days. And I was working part-time my last few years at AAA.
That's how
my last
year was. People being on their deathbed had me calling them, bugging them about billings. This man, this woman trying to live, they are bedridden. They don't give a hoot about a bill.
I'm not getting rid of pressure these people. I mean, I talk to them, and I end up, you know, I end up being kind to the people. Like, well, you know, we'll put a pause on it. I mean, that person is trying to live and praying just to see the outside world again.
And then we had to try to make people take their cars to AAA-approved auto repair facilities, like old Christian Brothers and stuff. And, like, people would be calling in with a Lexus, a Mercedes, a Range Rover. And, you know, it's like, well, I show that you're only 3 miles from a AAA-approved auto repair facility. No, I don't want to go there. They'd be telling you where they wanted you to take their vehicle. And if you couldn't get them to go to a AAA auto repair facility, which they'd be messing up your vehicle and overcharging you, they would I said, look, I was hired as roadside assistance. I was not hired as a salesperson. And then if the premier person wanted their car rental, we had to go into the systems of Hertz and Enterprise and try to do car rentals. But they want you to do all this in like 2 minutes. And see, AAA was a good company at first when it was just AAA Texas. We only served customers of members.
And even in Mississippi, because Mama and I, we loved it. It was so honorable. Wow.
Well, and you might not have been with the AAA that I was, because, see, we used to do AAA Texas only, and we got bought by California, Steel Club of California. When things changed for the worse, it got horrible, honey. And that's when I knew I didn't want to leave when I turned 62. I wanted to try to, you know, work until I was 66 to get my full Social Security benefits. But AAA was so darn horrible because, I mean, just about the whole time I was there after Automobile Club of California took over, I was going on job interviews. And since I couldn't get a job nowhere else, I cut my hours from 40 to 30 hours a week. And was trying to cut them down to 25. Girl, AAA was horrible. I hate them.
Oh, my goodness.
I got nothing to say about AAA. Not nothing. And I did have the old car insurance. And since I was an employee, I did get a discount. But they took me off the payroll December 31st. And, honey, come January the 1st of the next year, my insurance skyrocketed. So I switched over to another company.
They didn't even give you, they didn't give you like 3 months. Whoa.
Hell no. They didn't give me 3 minutes. 1201, honey, they had dropped. So, no, I don't have nothing nice to say about AAA. Not nothing. And most employees that worked there or have left AAA, they didn't have nothing good to say either because most of the management was horrible. It was just a horrible thing. Like I said, AAA Texas was fine, but Automobile Club of Southern California, because we started having the answer calls in Alabama, New Mexico, California. They even tried to make us answer calls in Hawaii, and we didn't know what those people were saying. They didn't know what we were saying, and it was just horrible. They're talking about it's going to be virtual, and I know I called from Macy's Garage. I had gone up there one time. And my car wouldn't start, and I needed a jump start. And I got a girl that was in California. She sent the driver to Valley View Mall, and I'm sitting in my car freezing, wanting to know where the driver was. And she said, well, he's there at the mall, and he can't find you. I said, what mall is he at? And when she told me the address, I said, that's down the street. That's Valley View. I'm at the Galleria Mall, and I told you the Galleria. I gave you the address. Because I had the address and everything on my receipt. I'm like, they don't even have a Macy's at the mall where that driver is. So I had to call my girlfriend, and she called the supervisor. And that was the only way I finally got some stuff. I'm like, but see, the girl that I talked to was in California, and that's just like me. If I got somebody in New Mexico and they'd be trying to give me some description and direction, I didn't know what they were talking about. But that's management. Well, we're going to make them do this, and we're going to make them do that, and we're going to have them do this in 2 minutes. Whereas when we were AAA Texas, our office manager said, just be nice and kind. Take as much time as you want. We want you to do it in about 4 minutes, but if you get grandma on the road, on the phone, take your time to talk to grandma or somebody that's upset and nervous. Try to calm them down. California, baby, they didn't care if you had a bullet in your head. You were going to try to get them off the phone in 2 minutes. I didn't like it. And then one of the managers, I couldn't stand her, Brenda Lee, when they would come up with these old new policies. And I said, why? The old one is working. Well, you're resistant to change. You're resistant to change. I said, I'm not resistant to change. I'm just resistant because it doesn't make sense to do what y'all are suggesting when what we're doing already works. But they would just come up with stuff that make it difficult for employees. I needed the prayer line back then, honey. Real bad, because I had to leave AAA. I was like, I can't take this, Lord. I'm going to come to the end and shoot up the place. Yeah, I felt going postal, so I knew it was time for me to go.
It's time to go.
And they fight.
You said
I don't know if folks deserved it or not, but I know they fired a lot of people too.
Oh, wow!
Before I seen you had called in, I was preparing to talk about AAA too. So I'm glad I seen where you had called in.
Yeah, I had to run my little errand because, you know, on Friday, I have to be here to watch Hawaii 5-0.
The talk would have gone a whole nother way if I had mentioned AAA, because you would have been like, I know firsthand. But, wow, that is amazing.
That's a horrible
And that
company.
Goes back to what we talk about brand name and that, you know, because when people see AAA, we think awesome customer service, awesome VIP treatment if you're basic, premier, or plus. And, you know, wow.
And my friend at work, you know, I told you, she was a travel agent for AAA in New York, and she retired.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how she managed to stay there 16 years, but she was like, because when I was telling about all that extra stuff they added to us, and she said that's what they did to them. I think some company bought the one that she was at. And, you know, another AAA club. And she was saying how they had to do more than just travel agent stuff. They had to start doing Department of Motor Vehicles. People needed their license plates. Well, now, that's one of the perks that they provide here is you can go get your license plate renewed. But my friend in New York, when they added that to them, she said it was just too much trouble because it was a very difficult process. And, you know, when you're dealing with state records and city records and this and that, she said it was just horrible. So she finally retired from them. I said, well, I wish I could have stayed on 16 years, but I couldn't take it. I was with them 6 years, and that was 6 years too many.
Wow. Yeah, I remember you was with AAA, and I thought, Mom and I, we thought you liked it. Wow.
Hell no. Mm-mm. And then when it was time for vacation, I tell you how they used to do for vacation.
I believe we were members. Mom and I were always members of AAA, so that's why I'm like, well, you know, I need to become a member again. Oh, my God.
Well, when because I used to like being off on Thursdays and Fridays. And when I would put in the time off, it would be approved, you know, because it was approved right there in our office. And the girl that was doing it, she pretty much knew us, you know, and she didn't care. You want this off? Okay, you got it. So when I would get ready to go on vacation or, like I said, just take time off, you know, I need 3 or 4 days in a row, no problem. I got it. But when we started, when they hooked us up with California, we were in competition with time off with people in California, which didn't make no sense.
Oh, my goodness. No way.
Yeah, I had wanted to go somewhere, so I asked for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and that's Saturday. So that would have given me that week off because Thursday and Friday were my off days. They gonna, and we were doing this by email. They're going to tell me, well, you can have Tuesday off and you can have some other day off. I'm like, no, I need all the days in a row. I'm going on vacation. I'm going out of town. Well, no, we can't approve so-and-so. So I just tell them, I said, well, look, you can approve it or not. I won't be here on this day, and that day. Now, whether it's approved or not,
so
I'm still
gonna,
going.
So you're going ahead calling out the days they said you couldn't take.
I did. I remember they scheduled me to work one Christmas. And I said, no, I'm not coming Christmas. So I was in Jackson, Mississippi. I was at Mildred's house. And so Christmas morning, I got up and called, and this one of the managers there, who she wasn't happy because she was from California, but she didn't like working here in Texas, in the Texas office. She didn't like the Texas office, and I can understand why, because we had crazy folks over her. But anyway, I called her and told her, I said, Rose, I'm coming to work. And it had snowed and was ice and everything over here. And she was saying how she had burnt out her garage door opener because the motor, she burnt the motor out trying to open her garage door. So she had to come to work. You know how management has to go to work. And so I told her, I said, well, I'm not coming to work. And so I said, I'm not sick. I said, ain't nothing wrong. I said, I requested it off, and they wouldn't give it to me. I said, and I told them I was not coming to work. And she said, Linda, I understand. So when I got back to work, one of the other supervisors had called a young lady in to come work for me. And this other woman's name was Stephanie. And she said, Linda, I didn't want you to miss your pay. I said, well, I appreciate it, Stephanie. I said, but it wasn't going to make me or break me. I said, I told y'all I wasn't going to come to work Christmas because I requested it off way ahead of time. I know I don't get paid for the day before, the day after, and the day of. Since I took it off, she said, well, I didn't want you to miss your pay. So I called Gigi in for you. I said, thank you. I appreciate it, but you really didn't have to. Because when I say I ain't coming to work, I really mean it. Because at the phone company, I worked all them years scared to take off. But when I started working for these other companies, I'm like, I ain't killing myself. No, if I don't want to go to work, I ain't going. But not, you know, I wasn't a person who just took off just to be taken off. If I took off, it was for a reason.
Right.
But AAA, honey, I used to have to tell them all the time, I don't care if you approve it or not. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. I'm not coming that day or these days. And then when I got ready to go to Canada, my last year there, they wouldn't approve some of them days. They had to go to the head honcho, the big woman who was over everything, regional director. They had to go to her because I had told her, I said, look, I'm retiring. I've had it with AAA. I said, I don't care if y'all approve these days off or not. I'm going to Paris, and again, I'm just not coming. So they went ahead, and what was her name? Samira. Samira and I can't think of this other Mexican guy because he went to Samira for me and told them how California would not approve my vacation time. I said, y'all, it don't matter. I ain't coming, and I'm retiring anyway, because I was going to leave in November. And they begged me to stay to December the 31st. And I said, okay, because Samira told me if I stayed to December 31st, she'd make sure I got a bonus come March. And I said, well, okay, I'm going to do this for you. I said, but I'm not coming to work on these days that's interfering with my vacation. She said, I'm going to approve them off. So she had to override California and give me my off days. And you think I want to work with some crazy company like that? Mm-mm. No. So they would do stuff just for meanness. It's like the folks in California, they had become the bosses. And even their clerical personnel hated Texas, and I mean for no reason. But just because they thought they were better than they thought they were better than Texas. So I was I know I have to go. And I said, Lord, let me stay here until I'm 62. And but normally I just quit a job, but something told me don't quit. So I did end up getting a little old small pension check from them. And I got my little $700 bonus. But, honey, other than that, AAA was about to run me crazy.
Oh, my goodness. My mom, I thought you were enjoying there.
No,
we love AAA. I mean, ever since it's amazing what you find out about a certain company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I didn't know that about Massage Envy. I thought that was a nice.
Well, you're right. It goes back to what you say. It don't be the company. If headquarters really knew, if the main headquarters really knew, even if AAA, they probably would have made changes. But that was dealing with management. That my hiring manager too, whom I had saved the life of a customer and I, and so I guess she was mad about. Because we cared. She would have died if she didn't get any water. I don't know what had happened to her, if she had COVID or asthma, because it was a COVID outbreak happening. Matter of fact, I was on the phone with one of my friends who was telling me he couldn't come in for his massage because his whole family, his wife, his mother-in-law, his mom, everybody had COVID. And some of the massage therapists had COVID. And... And then he was concerned about the therapist that had last treated him, if getting it, you know. So that's why he was letting us know too that I might have had it the last time I was serviced, you know. And I think my manager had it too, and she couldn't breathe. She wrote on a notepad, handed it to a customer that she couldn't breathe. The customer showed it to me while I'm on the phone talking to my friend, telling me he has COVID. And I had him to send me doctor's notes. Oh, that COVID, no, it was something. And then he had to email me doctors, all kind of doctor's information and stuff like that. And the guest, she slid a notepad to me. Your manager says she can't breathe over there. So she and I did the right thing, saved her life. But apparently she turned into a Karen on me, and she was mad. She had me to clock out early because I went and got, you know, Highland Village and Maywood Mart, we have the same security. And we have an older white guy. You probably know him. He's probably been with Highland Village and Maywood Mart since you lived here, you know, because he's an older guy. And also there's a black guy who's probably about my age, in his 50s or 60s, you know, and there's security. But the older white guy who knows Maywood Mark and Highland Village like the back of his hand, I ran out to him. He was down there in front of the grocery store. And I said, my manager, can I breathe? She need 911. He came and he checked on her. He called 911. She refused. He said, 911 out here. She refused to see them, but yet couldn't breathe. And then I'm telling her, I'm like, I should watch mother pass away. I didn't want to see somebody else pass away. You know what I'm saying? And I care about people, period, anyway. You and I, we just, regardless of how professional or how we might seem to some people, we care about people. You know, we care about people. Yeah. We don't want to see nobody lose their life. Or we will help people the best we can or get the help for them. And she didn't caught her breath and she was mad. I guess she thought she was back to what you were saying, scared of upper management. And even the guest that she had sent the note to, she didn't like how she was treating me and talking to me, and the coworkers. They kept, you know, helping the guests, and other guests were looking. And she said, well, I'm going to contact the main bosses. I was like, but they're in Madison. And sometimes they would be in with us. Because, you know, I was tight with the owners and with the bosses. And that's why Madison, just a couple of weeks ago, they're always sending me emails. Whenever I get a car, they're ready for me. Even the Maywood Mart, when I resigned, they wanted me to stay. But Flowood and Madison sent me an email a couple weeks ago. And you know my thing was, well, I worked there 3 months and transferred over there to Dallas and be with you and Tama Lee, you know, work at the one, the so many in Dallas-Fort Worth. But back to the story, she turned into a Karen. She turned into a Karen. And she asked me to clock out. I already was getting off early at 3 so I can go to a City of Jackson meeting about our transit system that the mayor and city council was having at Union Station. And it was like a 10:30, 11, she told me to go ahead and punch out. And I went ahead and punched out. But I think she wanted people to think I up and left. And I was off the next day. That was on a Tuesday. I was off that Wednesday. And I think she thought I wasn't going to come back. But I showed up and came to work. She didn't make me that upset. And so the next couple of weeks, she tried to make my life difficult, acting like she's telling me tedious things to do, like a, you know, like beneath myself. And And like what you just talked about, I take too much time with the – I never got a complaint from the guests. The therapists and the estheticians, they loved me because apparently the guests loved me because they received more tips than they did before I started working there. And also, even the guests, I think we couldn't accept tips, but sometimes the guests would leave tips in the can, and I knew those tips would be for me, you know. But the tips were only for therapists and estheticians because they would even put like a hint, like maybe my initial or something on there, you know. But they knew we the front desk associates, we didn't accept tips, but we did get a lot of commissions and bonuses and so on like that. So she probably was also jealous because of the upper management. Also, they would take time to train and talk with me and another girl that was hired with me. But the other girl, she was like you would say, the managers like people to be. We had a boss, don't you say nothing. Don't you say anything. You know, we better follow the rules. You know, she had that type of attitude. I follow the rules and play by the book and be respectful. But some things you just can't be quiet about and be like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You just can't be that way. And they always ask for your feedback. But the next couple of weeks, she had made it difficult. And then she decided to give us a pop quiz, a pop test. And then I always, you know how you and I are, we like to study and research, especially our training manuals. So I used to refer and study and put my notebook and my training notes up in a way. And then I know she started telling me to keep my stuff away, I guess, so I don't study properly. And because I would study stuff that they weren't teaching us and training us, because it's important to know things and be comfortable when you're talking to clients. So then she decided to give me a pop quiz, and I guess she had gave the others the pop quiz too. So it was things she knows she hadn't taught us, nor upper management had taught us. Operational managers and the manager I used to be with, and I would be talking with you, Carl, and the owners. They were the owners are a mixed couple, a woman from India and a Caucasian guy. They own all 13 massage envies in the state of Mississippi, and they own the one in Monroe and the one, and they own a couple in New Orleans. And they used to always talk with me, and their mother was a regular. And the husband's mother was a regular, and the wife's father were regulars, and they used to watch management. And I know the first day I worked there, I heard Carl say, I want to get to the bottom of this, because I think that it was a high turnover. And so I know my first day, I heard Carl say, I'm going to get to the bottom of this, of what's going on in this location, you know. And I believe that they, with my situation, they found out the manager, she would turn into a Karen on her associates. she would find out. They found out she turned into a Karen. So, but with my situation, when I and this was my birthday. This was the Monday for my birthday. I had rented a car. I had booked to get Hudge and everything. So I had to change. After she sent me that letter, and then she gave me a letter of reprimand, and I showed Carl, the top man, one of the top managers. I said, "Look what I got," and he was in shock. And then he read over it. I said, "And she put a blame on you and the other top manager that you all hadn't taught me what you all should have." And number one, she hadn't taught what she should have, but she gave me a test on information that she know they hadn't taught or trained. But if I had been allowed to study the way I should have, but I did study at home too, I would have known. But I did slyly, did my own little Googling, and I had some answers correct. I did my own little Googling to find out answers. I don't know how I did this, but as I was taking the test, I found the answers, and I guessed right on some of the questions also. And I think that made her even madder, too, that I did better than she thought I would on the pop-up quiz. And because I love tests and I love quizzes. And Carr, he did not like that reprimand, man. I would send you a copy of the letter. And Carr, he just did not like that. So he was watching it carefully. And he tried to get me to stay. But I'm like you. I have been loving this job. I'm like, this is one of the best. Because even when I was a student, and one reason she hired me is because I planned to get my esthetician license and with my experience in customer service and being and loving the beauty industry. And she was my hiring manager. Yeah, they all, the big managers at Carl and the co-manager, they all were excited about me. But they knew it was something more to the story. The assistant manager, the co-manager, she was like, "I'm on your side. I'm pulling for you." But I'm like you. You don't want to get to the point where you might have to be on the news and you're really a good-hearted, exactly, good-spirited person, you know? She's acting like a Karen. And then it goes back to what you talk about, racism. I'm like, am I experiencing what Cousin Linda and I talk about all this? Cousin Linda, it seemed like I was dealing with a case of racism, too, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And what you and I talk about often, and I'm like, right now I'm going to experience racism in now, this time of my life, now. Mm-hmm. And she already shared with me when I first started that she and I both had talked about race. And one of the therapists, and I noticed that she didn't like an Asian therapist. This Asian therapist knew she could help me with my body, my massage needs. But whenever I would, and this lady was hard to get, but whenever I would book with her, she would cancel it. And that lady was Asian. She and I both vibed something about racism. It was just something wasn't right. She would cancel it, where I guess she didn't want us to get together and talk or become friends or something. But she had told me she lived in Pearl and she lived down the street from that racist Richard Barrett. But I started thinking she act like a baby Richard Barrett too, you know. You remember racist Richard Barrett? I was dealing with a case of racism and too. So Carl could see something, but then Carl, I remember when he said he's gonna get to the bottom of this. She would turn to Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde with people, because I remember I used to ask her, "Is my job secure?" And she said, "Your job is secure." But then after this customer and I saved her life, and she was scared, she was in trouble. Then she ended up getting in more trouble. And then I showed him that note, and he told the other management too, because I could see a setup coming up too. And so I kind of sent her an email and told her I resigned from that location. from that location. And I sent it to all the bosses and the owners, too. And so I have always gotten offers. I just got an offer from them a couple weeks ago. And then Carl was like, my coworker, she called me on my birthday, and that couple of days later, and because I had the rental car, but I didn't, you know, you're right. She went from my half price Dodge, she quickly changed it to full price. When I said I resigned, like you said, Triple A did you? She quickly changed it to where you got to pay full price for your hot stone massage. Like, she was, you're right, not even an introductory discount. She changed it real fast. It was running through my mind through that whole process. This is exactly what Cousin Linda and I talk about. But then I'm like, you often tell me, why are you surprised? But my mouth just, like, I'm dealing with Karen. And then, you know, my sister, I'm like, I'm dealing with a Karen situation at work, you know, because, you know, my sister and I, we like oil and water. We love each other, but we like oil and water, too. And I'm like, I'm dealing with a Karen situation at work. And she, Beverly was like, uh-huh, because, you know, from working in Dallas and here, too. She was like, uh-huh, that's how these people are, you know. I'm like, I don't want to be on the news. I don't want to get on the news. And, my pay was good. But you're right. You don't want to get in trouble and get my friends in law enforcement who used to be next door at Starbucks. Because I could have ran right after I left out that Monday. Friends, people that you know, Robert Love, David Archie, they were right there. James Covington, they were right there at Starbucks. But I didn't say anything to them about, my manager just turned into a Karen and all that. You know, but they had sure been watching her, and so they put her on medical leave because I think she was, like, stressed out, and I don't know if she had COVID. I think she had COVID, and she was afraid of them finding out she had COVID. But she was the main one acting a fool about people having COVID, but I think she had COVID. That's why she couldn't breathe. Right, and she couldn't breathe. But they end up firing her from her management position, and I think they put her on a leave, and I don't know if she's still with the company or not, but like bad cops, I think they put her away from dealing with the public daily. They found out why their high turnover was happening because she changed on people. But it sound like your manager at AAA when she would tell you certain things. So I don't know. And then managers, I guess, get envious and jealous too when you spend time. But I've always been like that since I was a child, teenagers. I love dealing with management and working in management. And even when I'm not working in management, management like to get my feedback and my thoughts and opinions and what my vision is while I'm working for them, you know? So, I don't know.
But, you know, that thing that goes on, that goes around on Facebook, bad managers make employees leave good companies. And that's the main reason that I have left companies, because of bad management.
And right, Masanti is a good company, and AAA probably is still good, but then you say they hired too. But the management, look, because you could have stayed on. You could have stayed on, but that management was full of bullcrap.
And that was the reason they had a high turnover. And when I worked at Brinks ATM, I love Brinks ATM. But our manager,
whenever I see Brinks, I think about you. I
work for Brinks Home Security, and I work for Brinks ATM, and both of them had horrible managers. The team leads were horrible, and because for one thing, both of those companies, they were very pro-homosexual, but back then, homosexuality was kind of covered up. And they really made it rough for women. And not only did they make it rough for women, they made it rough for people who didn't really cater to the homosexual lifestyle. It's kind of like they
right.
expected you to suck up to them. Now, if you sucked up to them and kissed their asses, oh, you'd be fine with them. But like I told them, I said, I don't kiss my mama's ass. I said, I remember
right.
she told me.
I told Terry that the other day because he trying to play games with me like I'm supposed to run after him. I said, Terry, I don't kiss nobody's ass. I had enough of it. And our mama didn't raise us that way, too.
Because I know my mama told me when I think I was a teenager, she said, I'm not going to kiss your ass. I said, good, because I'm not going to kiss yours. So we both knew where it was coming from. And people be looking at me like I'm crazy when I tell them. And I'm like, no, if you wrong, you wrong. And go along with something just because you wrong. My mama also told me, she said, now, if you get arrested, and you've been doing wrong, she said, don't expect mother to come get you out of jail. She said, because if you did wrong, you know better. I didn't raise you like that.
Right.
And she said, will come visit you. And she said, by the same token, if mother goes to jail for doing something wrong, she said, I don't expect you to try to help me get out of trouble. And so that's just, I'm raised what's right. Like when I work for a company, I would always give them way more than was required. But it seemed like the more that I went out and tried to do for them, they resented it. They liked employees that didn't come to work, that came to work late, that were rude to customers, hanging up on customers. And another thing they didn't like about me, I've always dressed to kill. And they couldn't understand.
Right.
She
we always
kind of money.
Love our fashion.
Mm-hmm. And I know when I was at Brinks ATM, it was cold, and I wore my mink coat. So Stuart, the old office manager,
you and
say,
Cousin Draven love y'all mink coats. Look, Draven used to love his mink coat too.
You know, like some man must have bought this coat for you. And I said, well, how come I couldn't have bought it myself? Actually, I worked two jobs to pay for this mink coat. And so somebody there knew that I used to travel a lot, and they knew that I was divorced from a military person. So when something came up, somebody was asking me about some place I had gone, might have been Paris. And so Stuart said, yeah, that's how you got to travel so much, yeah, with traveling with your husband when you were married to him. No, my husband and I went to very few places together. I have traveled on my own. And I guess he just didn't like the fact that I wasn't going to kiss his behind, and I had done things that he hadn't done. And here I was, this little old lowly out. Employee, you know, how can she afford to do all this? You got to try to guess and figure out. Well, she must have a man just giving her money, like I'm prostituting, I guess. Or
right.
ex-husband. How come I couldn't do stuff on my own? I'm like, now I wanted things and I worked and got it. But child, these damn white folks and some black folks, but now it brings a to them, especially if you kiss behind. Oh, they just love you to death. And I'm like, I don't kiss nobody's ass. I don't kiss my mama's ass. And
exactly.
I know I ain't yours. Mm-mm.
Right.
And they just couldn't take
right.
it. I guess they
and that's something mama, your Aunt Liz, is always say, Bethany, don't you chase after nobody for them to be your friend. And your a little at work or personal. Don't be chasing after nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Come here, Sylvester. Get out there, yours.
So that's like
I'm on the phone. I was just talking to Sylvester. He in the neighbor's yard. And gonna say you got this and you. I guess you like. I'm single. I work. Look, you didn't owe them no kind of explanation, but your coworker let them know.
To have to tell white women at work, because how can you afford this? How can you afford that? And I used to be wondering the same thing about some people, and my mama told me, she said, you don't ask nobody how they got nothing. That's not your business.
Right.
And so when you start asking me, how you get this? And how, I said, well, look, I'm single. My money goes on me. I'm like, you have children. You got to pay certain things that I don't have to pay. Now, you got a husband. I don't understand why you got to work. Start trying to get in my business. And I had one they were called service assistants, but it's the equivalent of a team lead at other companies. And she used to have a bad habit of asking me in the break room in front of everybody, where you be getting all these
ooh,
new clothes?
Trouble when they do that.
Uh-huh. And, you be wearing all these pretty clothes. Where you get them from? How can you afford that? How can you afford that? What corner? And then it started being, what corner you been standing on? What corner? And I would, you know, be saying, well, I'm not standing on no corner. One day she caught me when I had hell in me. Because I came up in there with a new pantsuit on. What corner you been standing on? I said, ask your husband. He my best customer. She asked me that no more. I said, ask your husband. He can tell you what corner I was on. It did, and so did everybody else's. But they probably were saying, thank goodness, you know, take breath or whatever. Because, I mean, she would ask me all the time. And some of the other ones, but this particular woman, who was her name? Mary Denham. Mary. It was just about
Mary
every
who?
Other.
Mary who?
Denham. Denham. And,
Denham.
Just about every other day, she tried to embarrass me, wanting to know what corner I've been standing on. You know, so she's calling me a whore indirectly. I'm working at the phone company. Yeah, I had a new car. I lived in the Camelot apartment. But,
Jackson. Oh, this is in Jackson. I thought you were talking about in Dallas. What?
Oh, this was at the phone company.
But see,
that's one thing,
Cousin Linda, you sure right, because that's one thing I don't like about that Jackson, the way we treat each other. Right.
Mm-hmm. But, yes, I
people
think
sure had a, you know, people still had an attitude now. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's what's one thing that's crazy about Jackson compared to Dallas. I'm thinking you talking about you was in Dallas, and
mm-hmm.
you talking about when you lived in Camelot.
I was working at South Central Bell, honey. They didn't like me from Jump Street because I was in training was supposed to be 2 weeks, but I stayed in training 3 weeks because it was hard for me because the woman that was training me didn't do a good job. I couldn't understand what was going on, and it was just so much. I think I was the only person in the history of the company that stayed in training 3 weeks. But anyway, I didn't wear the same outfit not one time. And so when I first started working there, I would just segregate myself from them white folks. I wouldn't even sit with them. And so they'd always have coffee and some kind of snack or whatever. And I wouldn't because I wasn't accustomed to eating snacks in between, you know, breaks. And I'd eat lunch, and that was it. And I went out for lunch every day. And so one day my trainer asked me, she said, Linda, she said, well, are you trying to keep your figure or you on a diet or something? You don't eat during your breaks. And so I just told her, I said, well, no, I just really don't have the money for that, which was a lie. I had money for breaks, but I didn't want to be – I hadn't developed that habit at the time of eating snacks on breaks. And so she said, oh,
right.
Well, I don't need you to
– you do other productive things on your breaks.
Uh-huh. She said, I can lend you some money. I can lend you some money. I said, oh, no, thank you, thank you. And I guess maybe they thought I was a poor nigga or something. But like I said, I was wearing some super nice clothes because I had worked at Sears this year before. Put a whole bunch of nice clothes on layaway. And then I had just, you know, always put clothes on layaway anyway. But, honey, they was up in there. You could say they wasn't nothing but poor white trash. And they had a thick dress code, and they try to, you know, look halfway decent. But you could tell, honey, that was a little, we didn't have Kmart, little dollar store and wool coat, little cheap shit. And they couldn't afford to eat out. And I was eating in a restaurant for lunch every day. And you know, I just carried myself like I was somebody. And white, especially poor white trans, just deal with that. And they didn't have but a spoonful of black folks at the company at the time because when I went there in 68, they might have had a total of
the
10
year I was born.
Or, yeah, they had 4 different units. And I think out of all of them units, but a spoonful of black women there, because they just hadn't started hiring a whole bunch of them until the federal government got on their butts and made them hire some black people. But I've always, just about every job I had, I done called hell from some white folks and a few black ones. And I tried to be nice, you know, after a while, because I didn't really want nobody to see just how riled up I could get. But it used to get to the place at the phone company in Jackson when I'd be talking about whooping folks' ass.
Ooh! Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, one of my girlfriends told me that when she first started at the phone company, she was scared of me. Because when she started, I had my big old afro, and I used to come up in there with my black armpits on, and I'd be telling them old white supervisors off and cussing folks out. And she said, Linda, I was scared of you. I said, you ain't got to
be scared of me. You used to cuss my Linda. Because I have pictures of you. I have some pictures now that I need to post of you with some big afros. Big afros.
People that don't have any authority at home, and if they have a little authority at work, see, they come to work and take stuff out on other people under them.
Right.
And I'm like, nope, I ain't taking that. And, you know, well, you might lose your job, but I've just been unlost it. I ain't saying about that. I'm not going to sit up here and let you talk to me any kind of way. And some of the white women used to cry. And some of the managers would talk to them real mean and hateful.